man, not in embryo, but in maturity. God's children as the spiritual thoughts and representatives of life, truth, and love. 582, line 28. You remember how elsewhere in the text angels are referred to as God's representatives, how Jesus said of little children that they're angels, to always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Well, these representatives of life, truth, and love, these reflections of the identity of the Father, Son, Mother, God, are symbolized in the Bible by the children of Israel, aren't they? The children of Israel. 583, line 5. In the case of the biblical children of Israel, the mortal, counterfeit sense of children, first degree, yields to the true sense, God's children, third degree. The children of Israel are spiritually based individuality, resulting from Jacob's victorious struggle at Peniel and his being renamed Israel. Hence they're representatives of identity in soul. 583.5, not of the serpent corporeal sense. Being the offspring of spirit, they are, of course, offspring of Christ. Line 9. That is to say, of Israel. Why is this so? Because in Israel lies the true identity of both Jacob and Esau. The true relation, that is, of the individual to his neighbor, his brother, or his world. In other words, children of Israel is the state of thought like Jacob has wrestled with error, belief in fallen man, and is governed by divine science, where the human and divine are inseparable. When you behold the spiritual children of Israel as men, what you're looking at are some of the ideas of God, and seeing them cast out error and heal the sick. Line 9. That is to say, what you're looking at spiritually is Christ and his body, or church, the next two terms. The children of Israel in the Old Testament developing to become the offspring of Christ in the New Testament, that is, in Christianity, constitute the universal church or body of the one indivisible Christ, the divine manifestation of God. And the way this is put in the Atonement and Eucharist chapter is that the divinity of the Christ is made manifest in the humanity of Jesus. In other words, the incarnation of truth, that's truth come to the flesh, destroys incarnate Error, line 11. For what is true of Christ the head is, of course, equally true of his church or body, that is, of all humanity in Christianity. True, that is, for the entire structure of the manhood and womanhood of truth and love. 9:12. In fact, for everything that rests upon and proceeds from divine principle. In its second degree sense, this church, this body of Christians, is a useful symbol or institution in that it awakens the sleeping, dreaming human race out of material sense and elevates, that is to say, resurrects it to understand spiritual ideas and demonstrate divine science, demonstrate God and man one, thereby casting out devils or error, God and man too, and so healing the sick. And therefore what it all comes to is, who or what is the Creator? 583:20. Well, of course it's God, isn't it, and not man. Spirit, mind, the animating divine principle, self-existent life, truth, and love, which as the creative word made all that was made and could not create an atom or an element the opposite of himself. 9:25. To create, then, is to animate, to give life to. A perfect and eternal creator is intelligence, giving life to all that is real and good, that is, to itself, and never to anything outside of itself. That which is uncapitalized, intelligence, creator, so on, the living spirit or animus of that which is capitalized, and vice versa. It's all God. Well, this creative, animating principle is, of course, the opposite of the animal magnetism, the drawing of elements apart and then attracting them together again in order to make them creative, that is characteristic of Jacob's fifth son, Dan, the next term. Dan, animating electricity and magnetism, so-called mortal mind controlling itself mortal mind. Error working out its own designs. One belief preying upon, victimizing only another belief. In other words, mortal mind claiming to be self-animating. On the one hand, therefore, the absolute good of divine creativity, nothing outside of or opposite to God, and on the other, the absolute evil of animal magnetism, claiming that everything is going on inside of it. Well, as we know, the Creator creates according to the order of the seven days of creation, doesn't he? The full gamut of which is implicit within the first day. And so we come to the definition next of day. 584, line 1, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Where the creative purpose is seen to be to illumine humanity with spiritual understanding. Line 5, so that the objects of time and sense, where animal magnetism claims to be creative, disappear. So the days of creation are the creative unfolding day by day of God's one and only or first day, in which no night, line 7, no darkness, no ignorance, no time is there. And therefore the true sense of time is measured by the amount of good of God that is unfolded when the contents of the first day unfold in the form of the 7 days. God's one day consists, therefore, of light, the animating irradiance of life, spiritual idea, the undividedness of truth and love. The word animate, like animal, from the root animus, meaning breath, soul. If no animal, animate, organic birth in God's day, then no animal, inanimate, organic death. And so to death, the next term in this alphabetical order. No illusion of life in matter, or of that which has no life. Line 11. No opposite of the irradiance of life, the spiritual idea of truth and love that constitutes God's one eternal day. Like Dan's animal magnetism, which is one belief preying upon another, death is that which, says the text, frets itself free from one belief only to be fettered by another belief of life where life is not. Until this belief yields to eternal life, and there's no longer any contradiction of the spiritual facts of being. Line 16. Well, if no death, then no devil. Next term. Related previously, wasn't it, with adversary and Satan, therefore with Adam or error or lie. And being as such, neither corporeality nor mind. Line 17, just the lie of animal magnetism or hypnotism, the lust of the flesh, line 19, putting humanity into the sleep of death, not rousing or animating it, as does the true church, humanity's God-created Christ body. Devil is therefore creativity on a mortal basis, claiming to be another wicked, self-made mind. Line 22, the product of the tribal god Jehovah in the Adam record of creation, reproducing a mortal universe in the devil's own image, the opposite of the universe, including man, made in the image and likeness of spirit. Line 24, the opposite, therefore, of divine science. The human and the divine one. Symbolized in the next definition by the descending of the dove, or Holy Ghost, that descended on Jesus at his baptism and on the disciples on the day of Pentecost. That's the first translation in operation, isn't it? Bringing purity and peace. Line 26. Third degree. Destroying devil death. First degree. So giving humanity hope and faith. Line 27. Second degree. In other words, devil, death, return to dust. 584.28. The nothingness from which they come, being merely the absence of substance, life, or intelligence. And leaving us free to hear the message of the Christ translation, the message from God to men speaking to the human consciousness, enabling us, in other words, to exercise our ears, 585, line 1, of spiritual perception and spiritual understanding. The truth about organs of the so-called corporeal senses. This is my beloved son, hear him, God says, doesn't he, of the translating Christ idea, the true God-sent identity of the next term to be defined, earth. Christ and his body, his church, all humanity coming down from God out of heaven is the truth about earth. The sphere of eternity and immortality which are without beginning or end. No alpha, no omega, in the linear sense, that is, because spherical. Earth, therefore, not matter, as it appears to be to material sense, but to spiritual sense, a compound idea. Man's spiritual identity as one indivisible, spherical, Christ embodiment. Earth one with heaven, not separate, fallen away from heaven, which is, of course, the way earth appears to the consciousness of the prophet, that is to say, to Elias, or to Christian Science, line 10, which is therefore the same thing. Christian Science is earth born of heaven, returning to heaven, inseparable from heaven. It's what Christ, man, Elias, is. Spiritual evidence opposed to material sense it discerns. That is to say, it sees as well as hears the spiritual facts of whatever the material senses behold. In which case, as in the definition of burial, corporeality and physical sense are buried out of sight and hearing, and all things are restored to God. Earth given back to heaven, as signified by Elias's total translation, ascension or restoration to God, isn't it? And by Jesus' transfiguration, which first evoked the saying, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. In proof of the fact that there never was any departure of man from God, of truth, uncapitalized, from truth, capitalized. That is to say, no error. Line 15. Nothing really requiring restoration. Error, therefore, evanescent. As in the statement in recapitulation to which we are asked to refer there. Error dissipating like vapor, leaving nothing but divine science encompassing the universe and man. Line 16 has the definition of the last of those four Eden rivers, the science river, fertilizing the holy city as a whole and its tree of life, so that we come naturally to what is meant by Euphrates. What we see as a result of Elias's, that is Christian Science's, restoration of all things to God is the oneness of all things in divine science, the true idea of God, the prophetic vision, Elias, the prophetic vision of the glory that is to come, the vision of metaphysics taking the place of physics in the world, of the atmosphere of human belief before it accepts sin, sickness, or death. That is to say, the Eden paradise with its tree of life and four rivers that obtains before the fall. Prior, that is, to humanity believing that the human race originates materially instead of spiritually, as in the case of the limited, finite, erroneous sense of Eve. Line 23. Eve, the mother of all living, that's what Adam calls her, doesn't he? Is the belief that man starts first from dust, second from a rib, and third from an egg. Now this gives way in Christian Science what the deathless Elias really is to the holy matrix city itself as the mother of us all. Because there it's seen that the human race originates spiritually instead of materially. In other words, Euphrates, divine science, translates Eve, the wife of Adam, into the divine matrix, the city four square, the bride, the wife of the Lamb, or into what mankind is spiritually as the very birth-giving body of Christ. And really, it's this that gives the true idea of evening, 586.1, as a state of peace and rest, as the very womb from which each morning is born, in contrast to the mythical mistiness of mortal thought, the myth of a cosmic unconscious as the origin of mankind, the weariness of mortal mind obscuring our views of reality, our true outward vision, line 5, our seeing with the eyes. Next definition, of mental and spiritual discernment. Hence the need to have eyes as well as ears, to see as well as hear spiritually, because in so doing we separate fable from fact in accordance with the symbol of the next word to be defined, fan, line 7. It's this very thing that gives action to thought. Action to thought. Causes thought to move outward from God as true outward vision. That is to say, actively, as in the case of Jesus, to come forth from the Father. Next term, from ever active eternal life, from the one mind or divine principle commonly called God. Because God as Father sees all at once his own undividedness, that's life, his own oneness, mind, his own infallibility, principle, there on lines 9 and 10. No such thing, therefore, as fear, 9:11. Therefore, no heat, inflammation, anxiety, ignorance, error, desire, caution, all of which come from a belief of two-ness instead of true oneness. And if there's nothing inflaming thought, then there's no fire, next term. No fear, that is. Remorse, lust, hatred, destruction. But there are, of course, what are called the fires of the Holy Ghost, appearing as affliction purifying and elevating man. Line 14, that is to say, as the action of the heavenly firmament, next term, where spirit-imparted understanding leads into all truth, as it says, doesn't it, in the second day of creation, which is, of course, the activity what Jesus calls the Comforter or Holy Ghost. Like that fan up there on line 7, separating absolutely truth from error or spirit from so-called matter. In which case man finds himself, in Jesus' words, the Spirit, uncapitalized, born of the Spirit capitalized, and not the flesh born of the flesh. Line 18, the next word in the order. Not an error of physical belief, a belief that matter has sensation, but rather as typified by Jacob's seventh son, Gad. Typified by Gad. Why? Because the firm understanding, the spiritual understanding that has now come to man as his firmament is science. The science of being, of his own spiritual being, line 21, as man understood. And therefore, humanly speaking, he hastes towards harmony. He's on the way back to the heaven from which in science he comes. Just as this is true of Jesus, isn't it? Prior to the crucifixion, the resurrection and the ascension, when he is alone, that's to say, all one with God, in Gethsemane, line 23. Because the human at this point is equipped to encounter patiently the last woes of mortality or death, and therefore to yield to the divine. Even though its love meets no response from the personal fleshly sense of love, it still remains love. The reflection, of course, of love, capital L. It knows that as the Spirit, born of the Spirit, it is infinite and not finite. It knows that the belief that the human his mind outlined and limited is only a ghost. 587.1, an illusion. With the result that in accordance with the meaning of the second of the four Eden rivers, the Christ River, Gihon, it acknowledges the rights of woman, morally, civilly, socially. All that is signified by the birth-giving woman in the Apocalypse, the true idea of Eve, the true idea of motherhood and origin, is acknowledged as true for all mankind, here and now, in all walks of human life. The divine right of the human race is to give birth to its own Christ selfhood from within its own being and not have this plastered or superimposed upon it from outside. But this is possible only in the measure that the woman is, like Mary, one with, in self-conscious communion with God. Line 5. That is to say, is at work in the Christianity order of the synonymous terms for God. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love. Her, man's, only I, only ego, must be found to be the one great I am, Jehovah, God as Father, whose qualities of being all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving and eternal, belong not to her, man, personally, but to God. Man's divine principle, his one parent mind, which is soul, embodies these qualities in his own identity, so that at the point of spirit, they're reflected in man. So that as the reflection of God's spirit, she, the woman, births her man-child, the son of man, who is thus the son of God, as the idea of infinite life, truth, and love, constituting the all substance and intelligence of everything which is God. You see here, including the term God, it's a 12-fold statement, characteristic of what we've come to expect when the tone is predominantly Christianity. Woman, crowned with her circle of 12 stars. One God only, therefore, not gods. Line 9. Christianity in its science, the divine science of man, the science of the human race as a whole, not its mythology. Line 9. Humanity, supposedly broken up into a race of personal mortals, is the myth of God's many. Infinite mind, line 11, disintegrated into finite forms of brain, nerve, matter, etc., with minds and souls of their own, erring and mortal, going into matter at birth and out of matter at death. These gods or mortals are the very serpents of error, telling themselves that they shall be as gods, whereas God is one, infinite and perfect, which cannot become finite and imperfect, cannot be split up into good and evil. Gods. Why? Because holy good. Line 19. Holy spirit. Expressing the omnipotence of its own word, the omniscience of its own Christ, the omnipresence of its own Christianity, and the omni-action of its own science. Again, you see, the universal city, the word Christ, Christianity, science, the mother of us all. All humanity, one with God. Having no ego other than the one great I am. And whose Son, the Son of God, good, is the antithesis, therefore, of, now the next term in the order, Ham, Noah's son. The antithesis, that is to say, of corporeal belief, sensuality, slavery, tyranny, and whose heart, line 23, isn't therefore a thing of mortal feelings, motives, affections, joys, sorrows. Why? Because woman's son, that woman whose rights are acknowledged because of her unity with God, and whose son is the Son of God, therefore, is born of heaven. Line 25, harmony. Where spirit, good, reigns supreme, where principle governs, where there is spirituality and bliss, all within the atmosphere of soul. Whereas Noah's son, Ham, with all his first degree qualities of slavery, tyranny, etc., is a thing of hell. 588, line 1, of mortal belief, error, lust, remorse, hatred, etc., which cannot enter the heavenly mother city, where man is one with God and manhood one with womanhood, to work abomination, line 4, and make a lie. That is, create a race of mortal gods in place of the one God. No, none of this obtains when divine science, the oneness of the human with the divine, is understood and acknowledged in accordance with the meaning of the third of the Eden rivers, the Christianity river, Hittical. Because it's in Christianity, as illustrated by the happenings on the day of Pentecost and in regard to the early apostolic church, that the Holy Ghost, next term, line 7, which is divine science itself, comes down from God out of heaven, not up out of hell, as the development of eternal life, truth, and love. That is to say, in the Christianity order of the synonymous terms, which we just had a moment ago in the glossary definition of God, principle, mind, soul, spirit, births the development of eternal life, truth, love. So that humanity, as it says so often in the New Testament, is filled with the Holy Ghost. In other words, it's I, or ego, line 9, like that of the woman, is the one great I am, or divine principle, spirit, soul, mind. Do we see there this reverse of the actual Christianity order? Mind, soul, spirit? Why is this so? Because Christianity is that which restores to divine principle, through this order of spirit, soul, mind, the life, truth, and love that comes forth from divine principle through the order mind, soul, spirit. Always the idea in Christianity describes the full circle, doesn't it, of out from, back to, the one divine principle of all things. One I or us, then, line 11. One God who is in himself the us of Jehovah Elohim, Father, Mother, one divine principle or mind, 11, governing all existence. God and man one, man and woman one. Just as we have it in the description of the holy city, you remember, male and female no longer two wedded individuals, so in this definition of I or ego, man and woman said to be unchanged forever in their individual characters, etc., governed by one principle, so that all the objects of God's creation reflect one mind. In other words, everything throughout the universe is God saying, line 20, I am. I am God, incorporeal and eternal mind, divine principle, the only ego. This is my science, therefore, in which the term in, line 22, used with reference to spirit or deity, is obsolete. I am not in man, but all the objects of my creation, the total universe, are in and of me, God. And only when this is seen to be so, do we truly know or experience intelligence, which is the very substance, line 24, of self-existent and eternal mind, never unconscious nor limited. No such thing, therefore, as a collective, unconscious, cosmic, mortal mind. According to Recapitulation 469, to which the text refers us, intelligence is omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence. The terms used a moment ago in the definition of good. So that good alone is intelligence. Completely unlike that which characterizes Jacob's ninth son, Issachar, who comes next in the order, who with his envy, hatred, self-will, lust, etc., is the offspring of error, that is to say, a fallen man, whereas the woman's son, to which the terms have consistently been pointing now, so many of them, is the offspring of truth itself. The purpose behind the birth of Jacob's 12 sons, in the course of which his name is changed to Israel, is the regeneration of Jacob himself. Jacob, the next term then, 589, line 4. So that Jacob, with his 12 tribes of the children of Israel, actually prefigures the apocalyptic woman with her crown of 12 stars, signifying the regenerate human race. Repenting of duplicity and sensualism during the course of this 12-fold birth, the story of Jacob foreshadows that of Mary Baker Eddy. Why? Because it's none other than the story of the revelation of science, says the text there on line 5. in which the so-called material senses, organization, organic life, yield to the spiritual sense of life and love. When individuality, life is truly universal love, and this is seen to be true for the race as a whole. The apocalyptic symbol of this is the woman, generic man, crowned with her 12 stars, whose son, therefore, this man of spiritual origin, is of the nature of Noah's son, Japheth. Namely, through a world rebirth, the coming to humanity of spiritual peace. Thine 8, New Jerusalem, city of world peace. That which flows from the understanding that God is the divine principle of all existence and man, his idea, the child of his motherly care. New Jerusalem, then, translating the old sense of Jerusalem. Next term, line 12, as a Babel, Babylon, of knowledge obtained from the 5 corporeal senses. Remember the definition of Babel, the pride of power and the power of pride. Individuality personal, not universal. Sensuality, envy, oppression, tyranny. Translating all this into the true sense of Jerusalem as the home, heaven, see it there at the end of the definition, of mankind. Home, heaven, from which comes he who truly represents the woman's heaven-born son. Jesus, the highest human corporeal concept of the divine idea itself, that which rebukes and destroys error. Belief in man having fallen away from his home, heaven. Thus bringing man's immortality to light. Jesus' individuality being truly universal, he is the Son of life and love, the ideal womanhood of the Father, Mother, God. And what he does is to advance this humanly through what is signified by that tremendous Old Testament figure of Joseph. A higher Jesus, the highest, Joseph, a higher. Sense of truth, rebuking mortal belief or error, and therefore in the form of pure affection, blessing its enemies, feeding a spiritually starving world. So-called land of Egypt in the Old Testament, isn't it? With the truth about itself. But Joseph, who becomes the leading house of the kingdom of Israel in the Old Testament, and therefore standing for womanhood, must work in conjunction with Judah. Next term, the leading house of the kingdom of Judah and standing for manhood. Because then it is that corporeal material belief, first degree, progresses and disappears. Second degree, due to the appearing of the spiritual understanding. Third degree, of God and man. Due, that is to say, to the appearing of the kingdom of heaven. 590, line 1, on earth. The kingdom of heaven on earth, or the reign of harmony in divine science. Divinity and humanity, heaven and earth, one. One united kingdom of Israel. Judah and Joseph, manhood and womanhood, undivided. Divine science. The divine self-knowledge. Word science, from skieri, to know, taking the place of the false sense of knowledge. Line 4, the next term, knowledge, evidence obtained from the five corporeal senses. False sense of Jerusalem and Babel, then. Human theories, doctrines, hypotheses, the origin of sin, sickness, death, the opposite of spiritual truth and understanding. Spiritual truth and understanding become to us the kingdom of heaven on earth through the operation of the Christ translation, don't they? In other words, knowledge, tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that has to be supplanted by the tree of life or knowledge, science, of God, good only. And therefore Jesus, in whom Judah and Joseph, manhood and womanhood, man and God, are one, and who solves in consequence the problem of mortal knowledge. Adam knew Eve, his wife, is featured. Jesus is featured in the Bible as the Lamb of God. Line 9, taking away individually the sin of the universal world. As John the Baptist says of him, and how? By reason of self-immolation. Innocence and purity, sacrifice. By reason of being love, uncapitalized, the spiritual idea of love, capitalized. And what is sacrificed, of course, is all that is signified by Jacob's fifth son, Levi, namely the ecclesiastical despotism, line 13, of a personal sense of priestcraft or mediumship. Levi, the priestly tribe. Priestcraft is a denial, line 12, of the fullness of God's creation, because it believes that God creates, speaks, and operates through that which is the opposite of God, namely through the agency of mortal man, line 12, and that he does this through time and mortal history. Whereas life, next term in the order, line 14, the tree of life, which the Lamb of God brings into human experience as the opposite of the tree of death, life is, according to Recapitulation 4:68, eternity, in which time, tempus, temple, Levi, priestcraft, plays no part. In life, God and man are indivisible, with no channelizing medium or priest keeping them in belief apart. No Lord, line 15, that is to say, in the sense of a dictatorial master or ruler, line 16, which is the lower sense of Lord. Whereas Lord, coupled with the name God, says the text, gives the higher sense of supreme ruler, as would be so in the case of Lord, God, the next term, or Jehovah, the God of Adam and Eve in the second record of creation. Yet this Jehovah, in the second record, leads to idolatry, mythology, belief in many gods. 591:2, or material intelligences. And as such, is the opposite of the one spirit, the one intelligence, named Elohim, or God, in the record of the 7 days of creation. Now, Jesus, of course, represents the true Lord and Master, because his standpoint is that there is no priest, no dam, no personal mediator in between man and God, who are therefore in immediate spiritual communion. And therefore, it is Jesus who presents the true idea of